Hi, everybody. This is Dawn Mitchell, and welcome to Dawn of Sports. Today, we talk with the brand new sporting director and head coach of Minnesota Aurora, Colette Montgomery. She is a pistol, all 5'1" of fun, but also soccer knowledge. And you got to love her accent. Let me tell you, it always sounds better in a British or foreign accent. So Colette Montgomery joins us soon. Jim and I have a great show for you. Hope you stick around.
Hey, it's a reunion show. This is Dawn of Sports with Dawn Mitchell. Dawn has been traveling, but still doing shows. I was at the Masters and out of the loop for a little bit. We are back together. Our guest today is going to be Colette Montgomery, new coach and sporting director for Minnesota Aurora. We love highlighting the Aurora. Had a great conversation with Colette. It's already recorded. We'll play that at the end of this show. But Dawn and I are probably going to talk a lot about the two biggest stories in town right now. The Timberwolves in the playoffs and winning game one in what was just a great atmosphere, and the NFL draft coming up on Thursday, which could be one of the most consequential drafts for the Vikings. Dawn, I know you do a lot of work on the Vikings, around the Vikings. Let's start there. I mean, I don't think any of us know exactly what's going to happen, but what's your gut as to what might happen and how important it might be for the franchise?
You know, I still have to go with, I believe the competitive rebuild is still on. And the game plan is, now that they have their two picks, right? They have 11th and 23rd in the first round. You package that, move up, hopefully to top five, and you get a good quarterback. You know, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has been just on par with his vision, shall we say, of what's going on. So I would be shocked, Jim, shocked if they don't get a quarterback in that first round. Now, with that said, it never goes as we planned, right? We're hearing all this, J.J. McCarthy. I don't care which quarterback is in that top five, if they can get there, because there's just a plethora. It's such a great class to get someone. But they need to, if they want a future for this team, they need to get a quarterback, because Sam Darnold, as much as they might want to say, hey, you know, he's a great quarterback and I'm not dissing him, you got to look to the future.
Yeah, and I am dissing him. I think he might give you a good month or two good months. He's not, you know, just like with Carolina a couple years, whatever it was. It's like he can give you a bit of competence. It's not going to last. It's not going to carry your team. I think that what's the really – couple of really interesting developments. Number one is, I think when Kwesi made the trade for the second first round pick, he felt like he now had the draft capital to go up and get somebody he wanted. And I think the price keeps going up, because now the Broncos and the Raiders kind of want to do the same thing. The teams at the top of the draft are going to, you know, at least think they can get a huge take. So that's going to be the crux here is, can Kwesi really stomach giving up everything he's going to have to give up to get up to the top four or five and take a quarterback? And of course, you know, as I wrote about today, I'm not even sure why we think J.J. McCarthy's better than Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. And those guys might be there at 11.
Well, and you know, I don't even pay attention anymore to the mock drafts or the so-called experts, right? Because there's, you know, some people might say, oh, okay, it's going to be Caleb Williams, it's going to be Jaden Daniels, it's going to be J.J. McCarthy. You know, J.J. McCarthy's stock has soared ever since we saw him in Indy. Yes, we know that. But there is Michael Penix, there's Bo Nix, there's other players. So people are just saying that maybe in a style of offense like Kevin O'Connell has, that he would be a good fit. But I just think it's the darling name at the moment. Sometimes we know how this works, Jim. People want that name pumped out there to kind of put it away from who they really want. So you never know what is true.
No doubt about it. There's a lot of disinformation here these days. And there's also the possibility that the Patriots could trade out. There's the possibility that the Cardinals could trade out. There are other teams competing to trade up. So it's going to be fascinating. It's going to be absolutely fascinating.
It's going to be fun. The hard part is us trying to guess what it's going to be. I just want Thursday to come. I always say that. I just want Thursday to come. I just want to find out who they are, and then let's go. That's how I think.
And you know, I've been covering the NFL since 1989, and you know, put aside the whole desperation to win a Super Bowl, and let's just deal with kind of the on the ground reality. You're just trying to put out a good team that has a chance and is fun to watch. The best, one of the best things in sports is watching a good young quarterback develop and figure it out and be coached. And that's what I want. I want them to end up with a quarterback that we can all buy into and watch him grow with Justin Jefferson as his top receiver. That would be entertaining, regardless of what happens with the record.
And, you know, we've seen other teams get young quarterbacks and they don't flesh out, right? So just because you're going to get a top draft pick doesn't mean that everyone that thinks they're going to go on to win the Super Bowl the next year, let's just simmer down now, right? Like, it's not, if it's in the cards, that's a one in a bazillion chance. You need to grow a quarterback. And I know that Vikings fans have been patient for a long, long time, but if you get a brand new quarterback, you have to be patient still. It doesn't come overnight.
This is Dawn of Sports. The best way to listen to this show or any show you like at TalkNorth.com is to subscribe to the show at your favorite podcast app. It's free. It's the easiest way to listen. We have a great lineup, best sports lineup in town. Krasinski on the Wolves, Russo on hockey, Roy Smalley and Lavelle Neal, myself on the Twins and baseball, John Milan preps, Jeff Diamond on the Vikings, the Viking Update Show. So we have two Viking shows analyzing the draft, outdoor content, variety content, Mike Grimm on the Gophers. Check it all out. We do appreciate it. On this show, we talk about all sports. We also try to highlight and promote women's sports. So we're going to talk about the Wolves here in a second. But the interesting draft of the Lynx, they get Allison Pilley, it's trade down, which is a pretty clear indication they didn't want to get Angel Reese, who's a very good defender, and they end up taking a very good offensive player, which is interesting because, you know, this player has two things you can't coach. He has offensive touch, and she has size. And it's going to be really – and she was a dominant scorer in college, and she scored very well against very good teams. It's going to be really interesting to see if she can do that in the WNBA, and if she can – all of a sudden, this team's offensive capabilities increased dramatically.
Yeah, I was just thinking, oh, that was a curious move. And then when they got her, I said, wow, her and Nafisa on the floor at the same time, that could be huge if they learn to work together and how they can work her. So I agree. I was surprised because, again, like we talk about, just like with the NFL draft, here was the WNBA draft, like all these experts are saying, hey, if they want to go to the front court, it's going to be Angel Reese. It's going to be Angel Reese. And then to have that chance and no, you know, they didn't. That's where drafts fascinate me, but I'm with you. I think that, if they can get her up to speed pretty quickly, she'll be a great addition. They're getting bigger. You have to teams in WNBA now, you gotta get bigger, you gotta get faster. So let's see if they can do it.
I thought it was really funny that and I heard a bunch of people, I even heard people with masters, college basketball fans saying this. It's like, oh, Caitlin Clark, you know, why did she leave college? You know what? This is so embarrassing. She's going to go to the WNBA. She's not going to make as much money as she did in college. And I didn't interrupt them, but she was always going to make more money because she was going to be the highlight, the star of national advertising campaigns. And what do we see now? She's going to make $28 million or so from Nike. She already has the State Farm ads. She should get paid more to play in the WNBA. The NBA is still in its financial infancy, trying to push forward and get the funding so they can pay their players more. But Caitlin Clark is going to make a million. She's going to make $100 million playing for the WNBA when you combine all the revenue streams.
Don't even get me started, Jim. This past week, I can't even tell you how many times I've had to tell people, and this is fellow women coming at me, basically saying like I'm against women, that I did not think it was a gender issue. They were trying to compare her contract with a rookie contract in the NBA. And I said, that's apples and oranges. And they're like, no, it isn't. So this argument that they're trying to create is ludicrous. I'm like, then you haven't been paying attention, but I'm happy that you're paying attention now. Right. I said, the WNBA has a CBA. They have rules they have to go by. They have 40 games. They don't have the amount of games the NBA has. They don't have the money. So it's not everyone was going on and on about just how discriminatory it was that Caitlin Clark was only making, what, $76,000. I go, well, she's also on a rookie contract, and they didn't know what that meant. So it's different than when you're in the IOC and there's the Olympic Committee, and I believe men and women should be making the same. But when it's a business like a WNBA where you don't have the money coming in, it's not fair to compare her contract with someone in the NBA. Now, with that said, maybe now she can bring eyeballs to the WNBA and people can pack the stands, get the money coming in, get the merchandise there, and then it can grow. Like you said, it's in its infancy. You know, it doesn't have the same salary cap. The teams don't have the money to pay these players. But you can't just say Caitlin Clark should be getting paid, you know, what, I don't know, pick the highest paid player in the NBA. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And then to be screaming that it's discriminatory, it's kind of off the mark. So I said, now listen, if you want to grow, we want opportunities for women. So now that there's an opportunity, let's get more WNBA teams. But first, you have to sell out the ones that you have. You have to create interest. You have to get them more on television. It has to grow first. So, well, I know the seed of it is let's make women's sports better. And I'm 100% for that. You can't compare one contract to the other yet. Even the NBA wasn't at its stature when it first started. You know, it had to become the NBA, right? They had all those, wasn't it like the World Basketball League had a, you know, look at the USFL and the XFL. They don't pay their players well. And now they're the UFL. So you have to have a business mind along with what's going on in women's sports. So I'm like, I'm hoping now that people are paying attention that this can change. And I hope that everyone that's complaining, I hope that they better go out and buy season tickets for a WNBA team. If you're thinking it's such an atrocity, then go buy a season ticket and fill the stands. And let's show that WNBA is as important as you're saying it is, because let's grow the sport that way. I don't know. I'm getting off my soapbox.
I mean, you can't spend the money until you have the money.
Exactly.
The only thing I would like to see is, you know, one thing that always stuck with me that Cheryl Reed would say is she said, men get the investment up front in the hopes that they'll be profitable. Women have to earn every penny in the process. And I guess what I would like to see is all these multi-billionaires who own NBA teams, who also own the WNBA team, I want those people to look at the WNBA team they own as a growth stock, where if I put the money into it, I will be rewarded because it's a growing business, it's a promising business, and it should take off.
Amen. Amen. And how about a lot of the NBA teams that don't have WNBA, right?
Yeah.
If you build it, they will come. Let's do it. Yeah,
no
exactly.
Doubt about it.
You know, and then you just go for the sheer fact of, you know, 40 games as compared to how many in the NBA. You got to, if you can expand that way, I mean, it's slow. Like these are all things that need to be built on, and it can be done. But just screaming of the inequity without knowing that the foundations have to be expanded, you know? And that's why I said, I go, listen, Caitlin Clark, like you just mentioned, Jim, she's going to be fine. What about players in the past? What about like the Nancy Liebermans, you just go on, we can say Lindsay Whalen, Simone Augustus. Well, they weren't getting paid that much. And they're in the Naismith, for God's sakes, you know? So you just go down the line, Candace Parker, Lisa Leslie, you know, there's so many other players that did their work to put this on the map. So it didn't just start with Caitlin Clark, but I'm glad that people's awareness is being expanded now because of it. They're like, oh my God, that's how she's making it, the WNBA. I'm like, what did you think? This is what we've been saying all these years. Like, let's expand the game and pay them more. This is why they go to Europe and play a whole nother season so that they can make some money. So yes, I get off my soapbox right now.
All right. Well, we'll move on to another basketball subject before we bring Colette in. I was at game one on Saturday, one of the best atmospheres I've ever been around. It was a blast. The game was a blast. The pregame stuff was great. The fans were great. It was just so much fun. And it kind of reminded me of the Twins playoff games last year, where Minnesotans just, I mean, and listen, I'm sure everybody's nervous and paranoid, but people enjoyed the experience. And that's what this has got to be about. You don't know if a team's going to win a championship, and you can't have your heart broken every time a team doesn't win a championship. This is the good stuff right here. That was a spectacular game.
Unbelievable. And you know, it's exactly what Minnesota needed and what the Timberwolves needed. There was even some people like, oh, here comes the fourth quarter slump. I'm like, no, you can't say that. Like, you can't, like, let's just change that right now. I loved that. Yes, it was a total team win, but let's just talk about Ant. Unbelievable. And I loved he and KD going back and forth, but even Kevin was smiling and laughing. Like, he gets it. He was like, afterwards in the post game, he's like, that's hoops, man. Like, that's, you know, yes, it was great to go and the kind of little banter with Ant, but that's hoops. That's what we love. Like, you could just tell them they're both smiling. And I just loved it. Like, the whole thing. And then when they just kind of put their foot on the pedal and just blew it out in the fourth, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And to have like people like JJ in the crowd, Adrian Peterson throwing footballs in the crowd. This is what you at least wanted for the opener of the playoffs in your hometown. So hopefully they can keep it up and see this thing rip. But I was just loved how Kat was doing it at first, and then everyone came in and did their thing. Alexander, I was just like, this is flowing. This is flowing. Keep it going. But the atmosphere was bar none. Amazing. Like you said, if you could encapsulate the Twins from last summer and put it in a building, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was a blast. So it's going to be a great series. I think I picked the Wolves to win the series. I still think they will. And they could very soon be matching up with the Denver Nuggets. It's going to be great stuff. Ooh, all right. Before we bring in Colette Montgomery, looking forward to that conversation. I want to let you know we are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studios. We want to thank our longest running sponsor, Rudy Luther Toyota.
Ready for a women-forward car dealership? Rudy Luther Toyota empowers their many women on staff in sales, management, and service. Whether you are looking for a new Toyota or pre-owned vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota has something for everyone. Every vehicle comes with a Luther Advantage. 10 cents off fuel and car wash discounts at holiday stations, Luther Advantage warranty, and 5-day return policy on pre-owned vehicles. Located just 5 minutes west of downtown Minneapolis, off 394 and General Mills Boulevard. And they're also hiring. Want to join the team but don't know where to start? Visit RudyLutherToyota.com today.
Also want to thank one of our newer sponsors, AroundTheTalkNorth.com platform, Beta Bay Boat Club.
Beta Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats, as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Beta Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business, and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at betabayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
Yeah, looking to spice up your adventures? Well, you're in luck. Meet Define Destinations, your local tour company based right here in Minneapolis-St. Paul area, with over 25 years of experience crafting unforgettable group tours. At Define Destinations, they're all about making travel easy and oh so exciting. Their 2024 lineup is jam-packed with epic destinations and experiences that are hard to find on your own. From the sun-kissed shores of Croatia to the pasta paradise of Italy, they've got you covered. Plus, they include airfare, tasty meals, and must-see attractions. It's like a vacation jackpot. DefinedDestinations.com, where every journey is an adventure. That's DefinedDestinations.com, your ticket to an unforgettable experience.
All right, well, we pre-recorded our conversation with Colette Montgomery, so here it is. Here's Dawn chatting with Colette Montgomery, a really cool new addition to the Minnesota sports scene. As promised, our conversation with Colette Montgomery, new head coach and sporting director for Minnesota Aurora, which a franchise we love highlighting on this show. So, Dawn, take it away.
Colette, I'm so excited to have you on this program. You and I met last week in person, but now the podcast viewers get to hear from you. Welcome to the Aurora and taking the next baton from Nicole and moving it forward. How have you been? This must be a whirlwind for you.
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on, Dawn. Pleasure to be here. It's been a whirlwind, but I've really enjoyed the last couple of months spending it with Coach Nicole before she headed out to her role at US Soccer. So happy to be here and excited for what's to come.
You know, I know that one of the mottos, and Jim and I have been talking about this ever since we started this podcast, that one of the bases for Aurora is not only to provide great soccer, which it has, but empowering women along the way. And you want someone like a Nicole Lukic to go on to the U.S. national program and be a scout and get talent. And then you also want to lean back and give someone else an opportunity. And that's very important to you, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah. You know, we want to equip and empower young women to take their place in the world, wherever that helps them to be. But right now within the Aurora system, you know, it is a pathway to pro. We want to create opportunities for women to have a part in the game, whatever that is and wherever that is.
It's exciting when you say a pathway to pro. That sounds so great, but there's also a legit chance that pretty soon in the next year or so, the team could go pro. That's exciting, isn't it?
It's really exciting. You know, the founders and the community members have had a big, bold vision right from the beginning. And that's something that attracted me into the organization itself. I'm just excited for what's possible for the future.
Now, you're from England, obviously. I love the accent. I joked around that I'm going to have you talk so much during this podcast just so I can hear you speak. But you and I are kind of kindred spirits because you came to the United States in 2004. I came to Minnesota in 2004. Neither one of us thought we were going to stay. And here we are. Tell everyone how you got here and how you've stayed here.
Yeah, well, it's been quite a journey. I'm not sure I can unpack it all for you today, but came across from the UK 20 years ago, initially doing some summer camps and an internship program, and that just led to more and more opportunities. Minnesota's really become home these last 20 years. It's really been great to be here in the state itself and also to form community and family here.
You dug your roots in initially, if I'm correct, in Edina, and then you were also a coach at North Central College. It's got to be a good gig for you to leave North Central College, right? Because when you're at college girls, you just kind of become part of their lives. How that transition must have been difficult.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer in holistic development. So it's not just about the X's and O's. It's about how we help young women to be who they're supposed to be and find that out and find their passions. So yeah, definitely difficult to say goodbye to the young women that I was working with and the young men at North Central University, but excited for their future and now excited for this stage of my career.
I love the fact that we also include the men here. So sometimes when you're coaching men and women, there's different ways to go about it. How is that? What are the differences? When I speak to my brother is a soccer coach and I have some other friends who are coaches in different sports and said, you know, women, you don't really have to correct them twice, but you also hear every single thing that's going on in their life. You know, like the communication is very different. How is it for you?
Yeah, you know, one of my ways that I've approached coaching is to coach individuals, even though we're in a team sport. So I love getting to know each individual at the university setting. We had about 45 student athletes, each uniquely created and wired and gifted. And, you know, my job as a coach is really to help them understand the strengths that they have and how that works in a team environment. And yeah, there's differences between the men and the women. You know, overall, just love working with people and finding out what they do really well and how we can leverage that for success.
What's been the learning curve knowing that, you know, pretty soon you're going to be opening up games? It wasn't really a long plank you had to kind of get on board here.
Yeah, Nicole and I have spent a couple of months here, you know, building the roster. We're excited about the top caliber players that we're bringing in, as well as some of the fan favorites returning. I'm just excited to see all of that now come to play in the next couple of weeks as players start arriving.
Were you a fan of Aurora beforehand? And what were your observances from the outside? And now that you're on the inside, what's been maybe the vast differences right now?
Yeah, well, I've been fortunate to see it from a distance, and now I have a front row seat. You know, I've joked with other people before that, you know, I've never been to a game, and now my first game will be actually pitch side, which will be fantastic. But I've really, really admired the organization from the outset. The for community by community tag is definitely something that I fully believe in, and I believe that Coach Nicole and her coaching staff, along with everybody else within the sporting department and the front office, have done a phenomenal job in laying a really good foundation, building a tradition of winning, and now I'm excited to see where we go in the future.
Did you play as a kid, and what was your favorite position, what position did you play?
Yeah, I played as a young girl. Obviously, there were not many opportunities to be on teams for girls when I was growing up. Really, about my mid-teens is when I first got onto an official team. So up until that point, I was playing with my older brother, Kieran, in the backyard. He's about 18 months older than me. So we'd make a mini soccer field there. We had a brick wall that we could kind of play off a little bit, and two apple trees that served as goals. And, you know, just doing that, playing with him, playing with friends, playing at school and trying to get in there, and then eventually get onto a team, and then you know, have the playing experience that way. But I knew that playing was probably not going to be where the game would take me, so I got into coaching at an early age and started the trade of coaching.
People, that's the big mystery, right? When they say the trade of coaching, like, how do you start? Where do you go? And I think you have umpteen diplomas when it comes to coaching, whether it's goaltending specific, coaching specific, you have so many diplomas that it's not just hey, I just want to coach and then it happens. It's a long road, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, it's similar to teaching, right? It's a trade. You learn every day. It's experiential learning. So there's a lot of failure involved in that, trying new things. And I've been, you know, a big fan of education, and any course you take can be valuable. You learn sometimes what not to do or what you do want to do, or learn from different styles. And I love that about coaching, that there isn't a one size fits all. You can bring yourself, your personality, and then bring the expertise to that. So it's definitely been something that I've really, really enjoyed. One of the first coaching courses I took part of was a women-only course. And so I've been very fortunate to have some of those opportunities to kind of get me started in my career, and then obviously come over to the United States.
You know, Jim and I have been talking a long time about, and Jim, you're really emphatic about this, how Minnesota Aurora has changed the complexion and the landscape of Minnesota sports. It's a newcomer team that they've come on in, and you see men in the stands with their sons, the young boys wearing the t-shirts. For you, Colette, have you really grasped just how much this team in a short amount of time has made an impact here?
Wow. I probably haven't, because I think if I did, I'd maybe get a little bit crushed under the weight of that, right? But it's taken everybody to get this team off the ground, and to see the stadium full of fans, of everybody finding a place and space to belong and just be a part of this team. And I believe that that's what's made it so successful, is just that accessibility. And working with these incredible young women, you know, they understand the mission. That's why they're here. And they're excited to play hard for the community this summer.
So Colette, you're in an interesting position that you're not just trying to win games. You're trying to win games, grow a sport, grow the popularity of a new franchise in a very competitive market. Do you ever think about having to be entertaining, or do you just think about winning the game?
Well, I think it's the both and, right? I think if you would talk to me about a lot of things that I've learned in leadership, you know, and leading organizations and playing soccer, it's the both and. We want to entertain, absolutely, and we want to win. And we believe that you can not only entertain, win, but you can also have a fantastic time doing it too, and have that enjoyment be a big part of it. And I've always been a firm believer that you play at the highest level when you are free, freedom from making mistakes, freedom just to go play. At the end of the day, we're playing a game, and that's what we want to keep at the forefront of everything that we're doing.
So with that said, if you could have your own personal walk-up song, like "Here Comes Colette," who, what would it be? Is that pressure to ask you?
That is pressure. I'm going to have to find a good song and a good choice for that. I know that it's definitely been something on my mind for kind of that walkout moment, but maybe I can get back to you on that one, Dawn.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that, because when you say you can play free and have fun, that's one thing with this team, and Jim has noticed it too. You even have your bus driver, Steven. If you haven't met him yet, I'm sure you will. He is like the grandfather of that team. He drives the bus. He knows all the girls' names. He makes sure that no one leaves like a cleat or anything like that on the bus. He's now even, last year, the couple of years, has been on the bench because they love him so much. When you have someone like that and you create an environment like that on the team, like you said, people play free, especially if they feel like they're part of something bigger than just the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can't stress that enough. It's people like Steve and maybe even the nameless people behind the scenes doing what they do to make this organization run. And Steven's fantastic. I've heard fantastic stories about him. Can't wait to meet him. And I'm sure that he will help the young women this season have an amazing time as well.
I wanted to ask you about what you founded, a thing called WISE, We Impact Sports Excellence. So it's a leadership development program for female coaches. Is that true? And is that youth sports or college sports? That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so this is a group. Kerry Orners and Julie Lundquist and I have been dreaming about this for years, and it's kind of been a stop-start thing of just gathering anybody that's in the women's sports space. You know, ideally, we've been really looking in that soccer piece of it. And yeah, just helping leaders within the space, whether you're a referee, an administrator, a coach, maybe a team manager, just really be connected and have the support systems that they need. We ran a leadership camp for girls a couple of years ago, and we were able to use the book by Angela Duckworth about grit. And so to couple the sports experience with leadership experience is something that we're all three of us are passionate about. And obviously that's been on the back burner a little bit, but I think that we are always looking for opportunities to take that forward and keep women in the game for as long as they choose to be.
How big a part of your job is recruiting, and how much is Aurora now in a position where people are seeking you out as opposed to you having to go beat the bushes for them?
Yeah, I think recruiting is always on. We're never not recruiting. And along with recruiting comes retention too. So creating an exceptional player experience is one of our high priorities. And yeah, it's definitely that both and again. We're both out there actively recruiting, and then we're also having people fill out our Recruit Me form or contact us via email, or college coaches reaching out, you know, really trying to build that network so that if people are interested in Aurora, these are the steps that we can take to get you taken a look at.
What do you tell people when they come into town, or if they've never heard of Minnesota Aurora? What do you say to them? How do you get them in?
Wow. I mean, you've got to be there to really understand what that means. I think in our presentation, we have a panoramic view of game day and what that looks like with 7,000 fans, full stadium. The atmosphere is electric. And so again, just creating that sense of community everywhere I go and I mention Aurora, I'm really surprised how many people know about it, saying I'm coming, I'm getting my tickets. I just got a text even late last night from a friend out in the Morris, Minnesota area saying, hey, we're bringing 8 people to the game on this date. And so more and more the reach is going, and people just really wanting to come and experience it for themselves.
Well, I love too that women already from this team have moved on to not only like Nicole going to, you know, a more lofty position, but the players have gone pro. You know, like I told you earlier that when I was out in Paris, I saw Tiana Harris that used to play for the team playing pro out in Paris, and she's not the only one. So in just a short amount of time, the footprint for, you know, jumpstarting or launching women to bigger things game-wise has become so relevant, hasn't it?
It sure has, you know, from Morgan Turner in the first year to then Tiana and others in the second year. You know, we are really as a staff, again, continuing to reflect on how can we help players get to that next level or extend their game playing experience beyond the Aurora environment. We know that this is a pit stop for them in their summer experience. But, you know, we really want to create that environment where players can come here, leverage that platform, and then be, you know, launched out into what they want to do in the future in the game.
And you also have kind of an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the stadium and the partnership with the Vikings and the fact that they're all in and say, yes, bring people here, like enjoy it. That's just such a amazing avenue to have.
Absolutely. We couldn't do this without the Vikings partnership with TCO and Training House and everything that they provide, you know, to have world-class facilities, even at this part of the franchise, is unbelievable. And it really has helped to get the organization to where it is today.
Yeah, I've seen other teams come in for the first time and be like, what? This is where you play? What? You have to see where we play.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's an amazing facility. And I think Coach Nicole says this a lot, you know, when she shows those people or showed them in the past the recruiting slide deck and we pull up that panoramic view of the stadium. It's just really fun to watch their jaws drop and be like, wow. We just sit in that moment and it's a really cool experience.
Do you have friends from England that are going to plan to come on over, or is that kind of a long journey just to see what Colette is doing these days?
No, I'm getting definitely some family members. My mom and brother and sister are on the phone with me even in the last couple of days here about plans to come and can it work around the season and how does that go with my availability and being able to see and experience all the things that Minnesota has to offer. So I'm excited about that, to reconnect with people that I haven't seen for a while, as well as friends and family.
Oh, that's so awesome. Good for you. That's going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. Now for people that they're, you know, footballers, that's what, you know, people across the pond call them. Who was your favorite player growing up that you just loved? You might've had a poster of, or I know that you loved Manchester United. So was it a player on that team? Who was your favorite growing up?
Well, that's a tough question because, you know, I grew up watching and supporting Manchester United. And I actually grew up watching Italian football, believe it or not, because that was really only what was on TV at the time. So watching Fiorentina with Gabriel Batistuta and watching the Inter Milan and the AC Milan derby. So a lot of the players that I liked were more defensive type players. I love a Roy Keane. I love the creativity of an Eric Cantona. Of course, David Beckham, when he came on the scene in the early days, Ryan Giggs, just a really fantastic winger, left footed, just phenomenal players that really inspired me.
Oh, there's so many. You're bringing up names and it's just bringing me back. I'm like, oh, that's right. When, you know, you'd finally get one of those games here on air when I was growing up young, you know, you wouldn't get all the European ones. Now you can. You're like, woo. But I mean, now they even have like the games. I see my 12-year-old nephew playing, you know, FIFA soccer on there. I'm like, oh, this is amazing how much that has come over to the United States. But it's just, the game is just so rich with history that when you say that, I'm like, oh, that's right. I forgot all those names.
Yeah. And for a Manchester United fan right now, those are the glory days, right? So it's good to go back and reminisce around those times. We're still hopeful that Ten Hag can bring us back to where we've been, or maybe even just take us into the new future. Maybe that's what we need to keep doing, is keep looking forward and not always look back. But yeah, the accessibility of the game, both the men's and the women's, is unbelievable. And I think that we've already seen that when we invest in women's sports, the viewership is there, the attendance is there. And so really an exciting time.
Absolutely. And once again, this year, Minnesota Rural is our partner. It's going to be on Fox 9 Plus. And I say our because I also work at Fox 9. So Fox 9 Plus will be carrying the game. So yes, the visibility is there. We still want people to go to the games. But if you just, for some reason, can't get out to Eagan, you can watch on Fox 9 Plus. And the first game's coming up, right? May 23rd against Chicago Dutch Lions. That's when it all opens up for you. That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. And I want to say thanks to Fox 9. You've been a partner since the beginning, and for sure for yourself, Dawn, you know, just being with us since the beginning has really helped the trajectory of this team. You know, we're excited to start the season on May 23rd on the road, first two games, and then we'll bring the team to the home opener on May 30th. So yeah, if you haven't got those tickets yet, go ahead, go to mnaurora.com. And you can purchase tickets there. But we're excited to fill that stadium again and have you see the new roster for summer 2024.
That's right. So turn on your TVs on the 23rd and get your bodies out May 30th. And that's going to be so exciting for you on May 30th. I just get excited for people that feel it for the first time. And then as your team, and it's kind of this next iteration, and you can just bring this team even more forward. Colette, I'm so thankful you came on the show, but I'm really happy that you are now with Minnesota Aurora and can be part of its. I think this is going to be a team with a rich history itself.
I believe that too, and I'm just glad to be a part of a team, and hope to see everybody out there at the games and yourself, Dawn, as well. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you so much, Colette Montgomery, new head coach, sporting director of Minnesota Aurora. And it's going to be a fun summer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Colette. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim.